morning is Inaro versus Arbrook.
Good morning, distinguished judges. My name is Ephraim Ugonye. I stand here on behalf of the appellant, Defendant General Abdusalami Abubakar, and I thank the court for the opportunity to present oral argument on behalf of General Abdusalami Abubakar. The landscape of American case law is spotted with several instances in the past when this court has had to decide on matters affecting officials of foreign government. General Abdusalami Abubakar's case is therefore not unique in the sense that these matters have been before this court in previous instances. However, there are special circumstances based on the facts and the laws of General Abubakar which will be presented in the course of this oral argument and which had been previously advanced and addressed in the briefs filed before this court. Never before has anyone else been more deserving of the protections offered under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act than General Abubakar is at present. This case started about 3 years ago when the plaintiffs, about four of them, filed a lawsuit against the last four surviving heads of state of Nigeria under the Alien Tort Claims Act. That case was ultimately transferred to Illinois.
Why was that?
Because there was lack of personal jurisdiction. Defendant had filed a motion to dismiss, alleging inter alia lack of personal jurisdiction, lack of subject matter jurisdiction. The court agreed. But upon a motion to reconsider filed by the plaintiffs, the court transferred to Illinois. And when the case got to Illinois, defendant Abubakar filed again a motion for summary judgment under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, seeking to challenge the subject matter jurisdiction of this court on the basis that the allegations of the plaintiffs impacted the actions of General Abdusalami Abubakar as head of state at some point and also as a top-ranking official of Nigerian government within the period, within the time frame of the allegations in the plaintiff complaint, 1993 to 1998.
Are you going to discuss the Yee case?
Excuse me, Your Honor. Sorry?
Are you going to discuss the Yee case? Y-E is the plaintiff.
Your Honor, I did not intend to address that specific case, Your Honor.
Yee versus Zeman. You know about that case?
Your Honor, I did not advert to that case particularly, no.
I beg your pardon?
I did not advert to that particular case, Your Honor.
Well, it may control this one, so you better look it up.
Your Honor, the appellant counsel is willing to address this by a post-oral argument briefing, if the court permits. The district court granted Abdusalami Abubakar's motion to dismiss in part, denied it in part, and deferred it in part. The district court concluded that the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act is not applicable to individuals and therefore should not be applicable to Abubakar. However, the district court went and found that under the common law, there was immunity for head of state. As a result, General Abubakar was immune for acts occurring while he was head of state. But for acts occurring before he became head of state, the court said he had no immunity. Defendant appealed, contending that the court erred in holding the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act was not applicable to individuals. That's the number one issue. There's also a second issue which came up in the amicus brief to the effect that Alien Tort Claims Act, the Alien Tort Statute, did not create a cause of action and did not allow for private cause of action. And that matter, at the time it was briefed, was pending before the Supreme Court of the United States in the case of Sosa, which has been decided, and appellant will return to it in the course of the
trial. Sosa didn't involve torture or other human rights crimes of that sort, though, did it?
Your Honor, that's correct. The judge found that not every violation, not every tort, constitutes customary international law violations. And therefore, brief detention of Sosa did not come to that point to qualify for what was
That's
intended.
That's not what was alleged here, though, is it?
Your Honor, there are several plaintiffs here. One of them, two of them, alleged facts comparable to Sosa. They alleged that they were detained briefly. In the case of Nwankwo, he alleged was detained for 5 days before General Abubakar became head of state, and he was released 3 days by Abubakar after Abubakar became head of state. So that will qualify for a very temporary short detention, not of the gravity, to constitute a violation of customary international law norms. Also, Enahoro contended that he was briefly detained and he escaped and went into exile. It is true, Your Honor, that they mentioned the word torture, but the word torture is a conclusory. It's only by looking at the facts, the specific events that occurred, that determines whether this was a torture or whether this amounted to the degree of tort that is contemplated under the Alien Tort Claim Statute. Yes, there is the third defendant remaining in this case, and that is the wife of Chief Abiola. Mrs. Abiola was killed. Perhaps that is a thing that constitutes the gravity if Abubakar were not otherwise entitled to foreign sovereign immunities protection. The allegations of the plaintiffs emphasized repeatedly that Abubakar did not really do anything personally. He only authorized, according to them, which is contested very vigorously, he only authorized people under him to engage in a series of torturous conduct. They also went further to say he failed to curb it when he knew or ought to have known. So this is a case of allegation of responsibility for the conduct of his office, soldiers in Nigeria. He was chief of army staff, according to the allegation of the plaintiff. As a result, he was now being held responsible for the conduct of every soldier in Nigeria. Indeed, plaintiff emphasized again and again that he was a member of the Armed Forces Ruling Council of Nigeria, which in Nigeria was the highest policy-making organ of governance by the admission of the plaintiff. That constituted the Executive Council of Nigeria or the Congress of Nigeria. So whatever that body did, Your Honours, whatever that body did constituted the act of the state. Abubakar had not engaged, it was never alleged, in any personal activity.
Are you alleging that he was head of state in those capacities?
Your Honor, he was head of state at some point, but the remaining part of the matter before the court...
No, I mean, you're talking about when he's a member of the council. You're not suggesting that he's head of state in that capacity.
Your Honor, he was not head of state all the time he was a member of the council. But that council comprised of about 23 persons. This particular number was not mentioned in the brief, Your Honor, but for emphasis, that council comprised of about 28 persons who constituted the cabinet. That council is headed by the head of state. Initially, under this period, General Abdusalami Abubakar was the head of state, and Abubakar was only a member of that council. Abubakar was sued, and this case was maintained against him, Your Honors, simply because he showed up in Chicago and somehow the summons reached him In this context, Your Honor, the questions become, what is the proper interpretation of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act? It is intended to protect top officials of government for acts performed in official capacity. And the test is official capacity, not necessarily the act. Apparently, if we take the allegations of the plaintiff in totality, they are saying there was abuse of police power. But it was still police power. And the officials who carry the act of the state would be protected and ought to be protected according to the act. Indeed, the entire meaning, the legislative intent of the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act would be completely eviscerated if we say the government is entitled to immunity. However, the individuals, the only agency through which governments act, are not immune. Governments as abstract entity cannot act except through human beings. And when human beings act in performance of their official duties, or in the failure to perform their official duties, which is the actual contention of the plaintiff in this case, it is official capacity in which they have acted or failed to act, and ought to enjoy the same immunities contemplated under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. The case law supports this immensely. And also, Your Honor, there are fundamental policy questions before the court in this particular issue. Let's compare Abubakar to Mr. Rumsfeld. Could Mr. Rumsfeld be tried in France based on a complaint of a detainee at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq? I don't think that's proper. I think that would turn the world upside down. Also, the plaintiff...
Rumsfeld ever charged with authorizing torture that you are aware of?
Your Honor, he hasn't been formally charged in court. But the question is hypothetical. If one of those plaintiffs blame in a complaint Mr. Rumsfeld, issues comparable to Abubakar will arise. And indeed, Your Honor, I will contend that Abubakar is not alleged to have engaged in massive abuse. There are four plaintiffs here which are isolated incidents. There's also a reference to the Nuremberg trial by the plaintiff. That is absolutely inapposite, Your Honor, in this case. Nuremberg trial was the exercise of concerted effort of the Allied forces. It is consistent with the tenets of international law. Nuremberg trial is not comparable to a hearing before the United States District Court. That point must be emphasized. The decision of Judge Kennelly in this matter, which denied General Abubakar immunities under Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, is inappropriate, is not consistent with the law, is not consistent with the case history, is also not consistent with these particular fundamental policies I just mentioned. In fact, the judge's decision relied unduly on isolated district court decisions in the case of Tachiona and Mugabe, also in the case of Noriega. These cases and the facts in each are different, and yet his application of these principles or those cases was not complete, did not reflect accurately what those judges decided.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Kayode Oladele, and I represent the plaintiffs in this case. From the totality of the presentation
the
of...
The problem, I think, here, maybe help me on this, is this is a case where Nigerians are suing Nigerians for acts committed in Nigeria. And a federal court in Chicago considering that case. How do you draw the line here on federal court jurisdiction?
Your Honor,
opposing counsel mentioned Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, and take the torture allegations in Iraq. Could a French court exercise jurisdiction over Secretary Rumsfeld in France, or the death penalty, which is a lot of civilized nations have abandoned it? Could
thank you,
somebody in Texas be?
Thank you, Your Honor. If I may answer that question, it depends. The crux of the matter here is whether the Secretary of State, being an agent of government, acts within the scope of his authority. If he acts within the scope of his authority and the U.S. government legitimizes it and backs it up, it becomes an official conduct
of the
U.S. government.
I understand the issue here under the Federal Sovereign Immunities Act, but going beyond that, with just federal jurisdiction over this sort of a claim,
yes.
Immunity aside.
Going beyond that, Your Honor, we the plaintiffs have precedents in their support. We have the Alien Torts Act, which actually grants the U.S. government, the U.S. court, jurisdiction to entertain cases of this nature. And
well, with the Supreme Court's Sosa decision, it doesn't seem like there's much room for.
Your Honor, it's very clear. We submitted our supplemental brief to that effect, and as a matter of fact, I'm very surprised to even hear the defendant's attorney talking about his submission on Sosa right now. He had said, it's before Your Honor, that Sosa has no applicability to this case because what the Supreme Court has ended up doing is to say, just like Judge Scala said, we are putting it for another time, giving the plaintiffs, the courts, another shot. So the end of this course of action in the U.S. courts has not come to an end, because the court says, as it were right now, the courts have to interpret the act as it is. It is the duty of the Congress to amend it if there is any need for it. Sosa is very clear. As a matter of fact, it's more in support of the fact that this case has to be done in the U.S. in accordance with, one, the Alien Tort Claims Act, as well as Torture Victims Protection Act. These acts are the laws that grant the U.S. government and the courts in the United States of America authority and jurisdiction to hear this case. In Nigeria, for instance, Your Honor, we were asked whether there is a comparable law in Nigeria. There is none. In France, there is none. This is the only country, perhaps in the world. Now we have other countries such as maybe Norway or Sweden now trying to pass similar law. But for now, we have the Alien Tort Claims Act that has not been amended by the Congress. And the duty of the courts here is to give effect to the intention of the Congress.
Can you tell me what the effect of the Yee case is on this case?
Your Honor, that case was actually before Judge Kennelly, before our was transferred to his court. And when we got there, he asked us to read it and reason with him, read his opinion there. We read it, but we distinguished this case from that case. And in our own case, the defendant was served. In that case, the defendant was never served. One, two, he was a sitting head of state. And three, it was a default judgment. In our own situation, the defendant was an ex-president, a former military officer, head of the military, and he was served. He diligently pursued the case. And Judge Kennelly reversed himself and distinguished the facts of this case from that case. And that was why he so held that the plaintiff, the defendant in this case, is not entitled to Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act.
Are you arguing that that the defendant here is can be, is not immune as head of state?
No, Your Honor. Of course, we should have filed a cross appeal on that too, but we don't want to do that.
You can see he's not.
Your Honor, Judge Kennelly granted him immunity as head of state on common law grounds.
You're not challenging.
We are not challenging that, even though we have reservations for that. But it does not actually have much impact on our case, because most of the things that we complained of happened even before he became the head, when he was the military officer, when he was the chief of defense staff. And here, the question, Your Honor, is whether he acted within the scope of his authority. Because what the defendant is saying, that everything that I say, I do, even if I commit extrajudicial killing, even if I torture somebody, even if I detain somebody for 4 years without trial, I still acted within the scope of my authority. And the answer is no. The answer is no. And, Your Honor, various courts in the in U.S. here, faced with similar situation and question, have answered no, that no law, no authority will grant an agent the duty or the authority to act, to commit extrajudicial killing.
Of course, in the Yee case, the State Department had asked that the president of China be held immune, and the court deferred to that finding, right?
Well, the court did that, but in this situation,
there is no such finding here, is there?
In this situation, Your Honor, the State Department even stated that they are not going to go into the immunity issue at all. As a matter of fact, they went into course of action and asked this honorable court to wait for the Supreme Court's ruling on SOSA. They said, no, we don't want to touch the issue of immunity. And of course, even in our own supplemental brief, we said it there, that the Department of State on many occasions had stated that anybody who had committed extrajudicial killing, any individual, even acting within the under color of law, unlawfully detained somebody or tortured somebody, should not have Foreign Sovereign Immunity Act protection. That's why the Congress has stated, even while passing the FSIA, that the history of the intention of what is going to be the intention of the Congress should be left to the court and not to the executive branch. Because the executive branch, at one point in time, will say, yes, that is how it should be. At another point in time, will say, no, depending on the political situation at that time. And that's why if we have a litany of letters written by the Department of Justice to the effect that in some occasions they will say FSIA applies, depending on the political inclination at that time. And another time they will say it does not apply. And that's why the court is better suited to actually give adequate interpretation of what the law is. And as I said, Your Honor, various courts that have been faced with this type of situation have concluded that there is no way, even within the government policy, that we will have torture as part of policy, that we will have extrajudicial killing as part of policy, that we have detention without trial for 4 years, to the extent that the detainee will die in jail as part of the policy of government. This is the gravamen of the case. This is the crux of the matter. We all know, Your Honor, that any action against a foreign state will be caught by the FSIA. And just like the court rightly said in Chilwan, that if an individual acting on behalf of the state performs an action within the scope of his duty, then he, being the agent of the state, will be covered by the FSIA. But if he acts beyond the scope of authority, i.e., committing extrajudicial killing, detention without trial, and other things that culminate into this case, that such an individual will be acting as in his private capacity. Because even if you use the agency principle, Your Honor, commission of crimes is never part of the duty of an agent. And when a crime is committed by an agent, it becomes an ultra-virus action of that agent. So what the defendant is asking the court to do is to stamp an official authority on a private act of himself. This case has been on for 4 years. If the Nigerian government knew, and the Nigerian government is aware, if the Nigerian government had given him an instruction to do that, they would have filed an act, they would have joined in this case. They did not join. They did not write anything to say that we back him up, it's part of his official authority. And to worsen the situation, Your Honor, even the defendant himself says, well, this case against me impacts on my duties as head of state. But he never came up, even during the process of discovery, with any iota of evidence to even influence the court or urge Judge Kennelly to rule otherwise. No way. So, Your Honor, we would actually be adopting Judge Kennelly's reasoning and his order and opinion in this case very well. And in doing that, Your Honor, we'll be asking that it be put in record as part of our own submission, as well as our brief in this case. Everything is aptly stated there, very clearly stated. And I'm sure, Your Honor, you will agree with us, just like other courts have agreed in the case of Ferdinand Marcos, in the case of Wong Hisling, former military intelligence director in China, in the case of Zonkas, in the case of Chiluan, even Mugabe, the current sitting president of Zimbabwe. He was brought under the Alien Tort Act. He pled Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. The Department of State wrote to the court. They said he's immune. And the court said, these are acts that fell outside the scope of the authority of head of state, well, of an individual.
Judge Evans, I think, or perhaps Judge Cuddy as well, asked you about the alleged torture that occurred in Iraq under the supervision of the Secretary of Defense. Was that without the scope of authority or within the scope of authority?
Your Honor, it's, as much as I know, it's without the scope of authority. But the detainees there now, they are being represented by the Constitutional Rights Project in New York. There is an action pending now in New York against the Secretary of Defense. But you see, the fact of the matter now is, under the Alien Tort Act, the U.S. citizens cannot sue. It has to be foreigners. And that is why the Congress enacted the Torture Victims Protection Act to include even U.S. citizens that are subject to of torture and inhuman treatment. So, Your Honor, I leave that to the courts to decide right now, because I know very well that the detainees at the bay are being represented by the Constitutional Rights Project, I believe by Ms. Jenny Green, who is one of the counsel there. He's representing them, and I believe that I don't know what's going to be the decision of the court. And I believe that that will not even have anything to do with this case, because the situations are quite different. One, this is a military officer, not even a Secretary of Defense, a military officer who had a command system, a chain of command. Because the defense is saying that, well, my subordinates do it. But, Your Honor, the law is very clear. Those that directs, those that authorizes the use of inhuman treatment are more culpable than even the subordinates that committed it, because they did that under the supervision, the control, the instruction, and the order of the defendant. And that's why we are in court. Very well, Your Honor, we will be, the plaintiffs in this case, we'll be asking Your Honor to vigorously consider this case in the light favorable to the correct interpretation of the protection accorded to individuals under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, affirm the judgment of Judge Kennelly, and remand the case for trial. Thank you.
Are you asking us to apply the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act to this case, or to follow Judge Kennelly's analysis?
To follow Judge Kennelly, affirm Judge Kennelly's ruling, Your Honor. It has nothing to do with this case. FSI has nothing to do with this case. It's
well, that's not
even
the position you took in your brief.
That's my position, Your Honor. We are saying that we are adopting Judge Kennelly's opinion, and that Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act does not protect the defendant for offenses committed without the scope of authority.
So the argument you made in your brief, which I recall you were advocating the application of Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, you don't wish to pursue that.
We have our brief here. We have everything is clear. Everything is there, Your Honor. It's very there. It's very much there. Clearly stated, Your Honor.
Thank you.
How much time? You have a minute and a half.
Your Honor, the plaintiff counsel referred to a lawsuit against Mr. Rumsfeld in New York. That's not what is happening here. This is a case by Nigerians against a Nigerian for acts done by others done by people other than the defendant himself.
How do you distinguish the Marcos cases in the Ninth Circuit?
A number of reasons, Your Honor. Mr. Marcos was in the United States at the time the matter came up. The president of Philippines appeared in the court and said, "You can go on. We permit this trial to go on." Plaintiff counsel had argued that Nigerian government did not come. In other words, the plaintiff is reading the exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act to mean failure to assert waiver instead of absence of waiver. The foreign sovereign is presumptively immune. He doesn't have to come and say, "Hey."
Well, they're not challenging him as sovereign, as I understand it. The Judge Kennelly said he was immune during the period when he was the sovereign, but not for the other period. So,
Your Honor, that's exactly the point. Whether Foreign Sovereign Immunity Act is applicable to individuals, to officials in government, the answer is yes, by preponderance of case law on this matter. Also, Your Honor, the exceptions are very clear in Sovereign Immunities Act. The exceptions are very clear. None of them applied. These are defendant plaintiffs who were Nigerians, who remain Nigerians when the case was filed, who remain Nigerians throughout the proceedings of the case. The same with the defendant.
You're saying that all these government officials or people acting as governmental capacities, they're immune under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act? Is that what your position is?
Your Honor, indeed, yes, and more, which is that Abubakar is not alleged to have done anything. He failed. He failed to do something. They're alleging by implication omission, failure to be accountable for every Nigerian soldier. The record shows, Your Honor, that those who were responsible for the murder of Mrs. Abiola are in detention in Nigeria awaiting trial. It's not correct that Nigerian government is not interested in this case. Though not on the record, Nigerian government is paying the fees of the attorneys for Abubakar. Also, the contention that State Department said nothing on immunity is absolutely wrong. Indeed, it was based on the amicus brief filed by the Justice Department person. Justice Department had to address the issues that had not been addressed in the substantive brief we filed. There was no need to repeat immunity issues in the amicus brief.
Thank you, counsel. Your time's expired.
Thank you.
Thanks to